we're getting a lot of feedback on you, Gator. Scott writes in, a tale of two Gators. You know what happened? Melancholy, cold Coney appointment frustration Gator was pessimistic about the Lions, and then Friday Gator busted through and went, oh yeah.
You know what? There's truth to that. There's truth to that.
Trite. Great word, Gator. You'd be good at Wordle.
I am good at Wordle.
Is Gator hungover? I have a friend who, when he gets hungover, he gets sassy and pulls out a Cambridge-level vocabulary. That's from Alex and Ross.
It is that word of the day calendar. I mean, he's been crushing it. What was that word he said earlier this week?
Oh, I don't remember.
You just worked that into conversation.
It was so natural.
Incredulity, I think is what I said.
That might be it.
It's a derivation of incredulous.
There's another one, trite. I love when Gator hates people.
easy.
Strongly dislike.
That's why it was called the list of people Gator strongly dislikes. Have we found a podcast with that list, Kang? Because the list got deleted in a computer changeover. Yeah.
No. Yeah, we'll get it to you.
We got Jericho, though.
Sean McVay was on the list.
He was one of the first. Oh, hell yeah.
One of the first on the list. 248-539-9797. Are you feeling chesty? Are you feeling concerned? Meanwhile, we got Michigan and Michigan State coming up Saturday night at the Big House in what M Live dubs the night game almost no one wants. Look, the breakdown of this game was the most simple, stupid breakdown we've ever given, but it feels like it comes down to the quarterback play. If question mark plays well for Michigan and doesn't turn it over,
question mark,
Michigan's got a much better chance. If Childs plays well for Michigan State and doesn't turn it over, and I don't know that it's much deeper than that, but there's certainly feel goods to be had for both fan bases. Feel better if you're Michigan and feel really good if you're Michigan State, given what last season was. 248-539-9797, if you want to get into that. And if you haven't seen the most gangster empty net goal of all time, you have got to check it out. It is the Rasmussen goal last night at the end of the Red Wings game against New Jersey. You know, I was thinking about a little bit something we went through a few years ago, and this has kind of been lingering all week, and I haven't had a chance to get to it. How freaking good was Jahmyr Gibbs last Sunday?
He's great. You know what? He's great. I love about him is, well, I love his ability to catch the football in the backfield, but the fact that he gets to top speed right away. There's no screwing around. There's the hole. He's going to run through it as fast as he can. And I think that's one of the things that separates it from other backs. It's a different style, right? Le'Veon Bell was the guy who was patient, would sit there, wait, and then boom, he'd go. Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, the Lions get a little, here's your crease, get through it, gone. It's speed is so intoxicating in the NFL, you got to love it. And he's got it.
I take us back to something that I've said for years, and that is, there are no hard and fast rules when it comes to the NFL draft. We've done post-draft shows forever where people would call up and say, you just can't select player at this position with this pick.
Right.
And I've always said, that's so easy to say until you see that player help you win big games. If that player is going to help you win big games, it doesn't really matter all that much what position. Yeah, within reason. I'm not saying take a kicker at pick 1-1 because he's going to help you win big games. Unless that kicker's like good from 90. But Jahmyr Gibbs is helping them win big games. And he was taken at 12th overall. And in the immediate wake, and remember they traded down and took him. In the immediate wake of that draft, that first round was Jahmyr Gibbs at 12 and Jack Campbell at 18. And both picks got slayed because you can't take a running back at 12 and you can't take an off-the-ball linebacker
right
at 18. Would you change anything?
No, I wouldn't at all. I always like to make this comparison. It's like when the Lions drafted Matthew Stafford. I think it was 2009 draft. They had two first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the top pick in the second round as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they drafted Stafford, and then the next pick was Brandon Pettigrew, the tight end. And then they took Lewis Delmas in the second round, the safety. And everybody got bent out of shape. Mm-hmm. You can't take a tight end in the first round. I mean, and they're like, what if they'd taken Delmas? Well, yeah, you could take Delmas in the first round. That works. But you don't use a first round. They got their guys. Doesn't matter what the order is. So if the Lions go out there and they on their board, they have ranked the players. And they say Jahmyr Gibbs is the number one guy they want, number two guy, Jack Campbell, number three guy, Brian Branch, number four guy, Sam Laporta, whatever. And they're literally in that order. How can you argue with that? Because you've got your hard and fast rule.
Well, the hard and fast rule thing is implying that every draft has the exact same pool of players.
Well, it's not only about the pool of players. It's about the needs for each team or how the – more importantly – and I guess this speaks to the pool of players. It's where do you have them ranked?
Yeah, if you think the best player in the draft is at a position that, I mean, here's the crazy thing about the running back thing: taking a running back at 12 when you can't do that. Remember, they actually did trade down and take the running back.
Right, they traded back. Yeah,
didn't they have a pick at 6 and they went back to 12?
Yes.
So you know they kind of followed what the hard and fast rule guy wanted, but it wasn't far enough. But they didn't want to lose out on Jahmyr Gibbs, and thank God they didn't. Here's the other thing that's crazy is are running backs coming back?
It feels like there's a bit of a resurgence right now that they're much more dependent on now. Like finally they're getting their due again. Like it used to be, they were like among
used
the highest
thrown
players.
Away.
Yeah, the highest paid players in the league. And then they got used and thrown away.
Yep.
They weren't paid as much. And now, you know, Christian McCaffrey got paid. You're starting to see other guys get paid. Dave Montgomery just got a nice extension with the Lions. And because I think, you know, it's a copycat league, you see the way the teams have success and you're going to start to invest in that. You know, the Lions have two really good running backs. You can be successful. You need more than one. And you need more than one option anyway. And I like where it's at because I didn't like, and you know, I've advocated for years, I wish that maybe they'd set up some kind of rule that running backs can hit free agency sooner because their careers are cut shorter and they are used and abused and thrown away by teams all the time. You know, it's not like it, which is crazy to think because the era back in the 70s and 80s, those running backs carried the ball a hell of a lot more than they do today. And some of those guys would play well into their 30s. But now they're disposable heroes.
Do you know how many running backs averaged over 100 yards rushing last year?
Over 100 yards rushing?
100 yards rushing a game.
How many running backs averaged over 100 yards rushing a game? One? None?
Zero last year. Do you know how many are doing it this year?
Is it just Derrick Henry?
There's three. Last year, there was one team that averaged over 150 yards rushing
a
game.
San Francisco, probably.
Yep. There was only one team last year that averaged over 150 yards rushing a game, and that was Baltimore, and they were doing it because of their quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the Bears are up there, too, because of Fields. I think he had pretty
this cool. year, do you know how many teams are averaging 150 rushing yards a game?
A handful?
Six. So a handful more. But yeah, you're looking at the and here's the crazy thing. You know what this implies? If this truly is, and I it's early to make this call, right? But this is an interesting trend of whether or not the game is being brought back to the running back. The interesting trend, if it's true, then we literally have a GM that was ahead of the curve and invested in a running back in the draft and free agency, that might be the best 1-2 combo in the league.
It is the best 1-2 combo in the league. For running backs, I mean, obviously what they have in Baltimore is different because it's the quarterback that's running along with Derrick Henry, but I think it's the best 1-2 combo in the league. I mean, what compares to it? What Atlanta has with Bijan Robinson and the kid from BYU?
Yeah. Yeah.
Algier?
Don't forget, though, Doug, I mean, don't fall into the trap because Brent Holmes, he invests in players, not positions.
Okay.
So I don't think he invested in the running back. They're tight. He invested in Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, and Sam Laporta. They're football players, right? He doesn't see positional value, doesn't understand that. Okay, so I think
don't stop my love letter to Brad Holmes that I got penning over
no,
here.
No, my point is he's doing a great job because he's picking players, not picking positions. So if he wasn't going to draft a running back just to draft a running back at 12. He was drafting Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, right? Yeah. He wasn't going to draft.
He was going to be special.
Yes, and so that's the way he's doing things. And with that being said, I think that I don't think you ignore trends though, but you also don't forget you're picking players, not positions.
Well, I do think this. I think we're going to see a team take Ashton Jeanty very high in the draft this year.
He just pinballs his way all the way down the field like every time he gets it.
He's just fantastic. The running back for Boise, who might be the odds-on favorite right now to win the Heisman Trophy, he or Cam Ward. He's had an amazing year. 1,248 yards rushing this year, 9.9 yards per carry, 17 touchdowns, right? Mm-hmm. And he's done this in six games. And he's not playing all four quarters. Last year, in 220 carries, he had 1,347 yards. He's averaging 3 yards more per carry than he did last year, when last year his average was 6.1. It's almost 4 yards per carry more.
And what really helps him is he did it against Oregon.
Yes.
He did it in a big game.
Ran for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns against Oregon when they lost 37-34 in a close game. He's fantastic, and I have paid attention to some of the mock drafts. Just about every mock draft has him gone with the Cowboys. Wherever the Cowboys pick, that's who they take.
Yep.
I have a feeling that this guy is going to be a hot commodity, in part because we are seeing the resurgence of the running game and the running back specifically in the NFL.
All right. Lots to do here on Carson Anderson, the second half of the show, including Inside Allen Park with the Birchie Kid today at 12:30. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.